Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman, and thank you for joining us here as we continue our simple goal of reading the Word. Let's go ahead and begin this study. By the way, if you want to study along any of our previous lessons, this is show number 87, by the way. They're all on my website, 24/7, available free to you, no charge. The website is readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. You can find it by air date or program number or title. Just scroll down till you find the one you want, can listen to it or download it there at your convenience and take it with you. Once again, my name is Justin Reed. Let's begin reading the Word. A new topic today, simply titled, His Master is on the Other Side. Taking that title from an excerpt from a bulletin article I'd like to share with you, then we'll dive into it. It's called His Master is on the Other Side. Many years ago, a country doctor was making a house call on a patient who was gravely ill. The doctor's dog had accompanied him on the trip, but the doctor insisted that the dog wait outside. For quite a while, the doctor visited with the patient, and they talked about the seriousness of his condition and what he could expect in the near future. The patient shared with the doctor that he was terribly afraid to face death. He explained that he was frightened because he did not know what was waiting on the other side. As the conversation stretched on, the dog outside was growing impatient and started scratching at the door, wanting to come inside. The doctor asked the patient to listen to the dog scratching at the door. The doctor explained that the dog did not know what was happening on the other side of the door. However, the dog wanted in because he knew his master was on the other side. The doctor went on to explain that though the patient did not know what to expect in death, he could trust that God would be waiting for him on the other side. Oh, what a blessing! Dear friends, when we are facing the unknown, we have to cling to what we know. We know that God will never leave us, nor will He forsake us. Let's look at this idea of facing the unknown, yet knowing that we as faithful Christians have nothing to worry about because our Master is on the other side. Go with me to the book of Revelation. Three passages I want us to examine, and the first two are short, then we'll spend the rest of our time in that third one. The book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 3 and 4. John, in exile on Patmos, about 95-96 A.D., is in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, that being Sunday, and he is shown, a whole lot of different things, and he is told to write down what he sees. And so we see a glimpse of heaven beginning in verse 1 of Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth, were passed away. There was no more sea, not a physical heaven, not a physical sea. This is all in the spiritual realm. We will not have an eternal resting place on this earth, dear friends. That's not a biblical teaching. Verse 2, And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Notice there a personal relationship here in this glimpse of heaven, verse 3. God shall be with his people, God himself shall be with them, and be their God. Oh, how wonderful of a thought, dear friends, when we are obedient to God's commands, faithful to our last breath, that we get to go to heaven, where God will take a personal relationship with us, and He will wipe away all the tears from our eyes. No more death, nor sorrow, crying, nor pain. Can you imagine a day waking up and you don't ache? You don't snap, crackle, and pop as you get out of bed. There's no need to call the obituary line at the funeral home, for there is no more death. Won't need to buy Kleenex because we're not crying anymore. Oh, what a wonderful place that will be. Go with me to the 13th chapter of Hebrews, the final passage in this wonderful sermon of a book. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. The Hebrew writer says, Let your conversation or your lifestyle... Let your conversation be done without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, I will never forsake thee. See, dear friends, that's a promise from the Savior that we're never being left. You know, we sing the song, he will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. That's in the song, The Lily of the Valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. We do not have a Savior who came to die for us and then left us with no plans on coming back. Dear friends, we have just the opposite. We have a Savior who came to this low land of sin and sorrow, took on the sins of the world, including your sins and mine. Hallelujah, praise God. He took on my sins and yours. He died upon that cross, and he left, and he said, I'm coming back. That is a promise, dear friends, and like everything else that God says, you can take that promise to the bank. But notice, before we have to take a break here, let your lifestyle be without covetousness. How do we do that? Be content with what you have. Oh, dear friends, so many times I see even good Christian friends, and they're not content. Now, he's not saying you can't go out and work for a living. He's not saying you can't go out and try to better yourself. He's not saying you can't go out and save up. Dear friends, he is saying you need to be content. You need to be happy. Because if all you ever think about is getting more and more and more, then that leaves less and less and less time for God in your life. Let your lifestyle be without covetousness. Be content with what you have. Notice this. What's the ultimate thing that brings us contentment? Knowing that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. Oh, what a blessed thought. Dear friends, we have one final passage for us to examine. That'll be John chapter 14, the first six verses. But first, we need to pause. I want to extend a personal invitation to come join us at the Arlington Church of Christ, where I'm honored to be the pulpit minister. And Brother Jim Dearman's going to pick up with information about service times and where the building is located. Hope you can come join us. We'll be back on the other side of the break as we continue Reading the Word.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman, and once again, thank you for either sticking with us or maybe you're just now joining us here on Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed. If you want to study along with any of the lessons in this series, you can do them all online at readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. You'll click on where it says sermons. Audio sermons. There's both bulletin articles and audio sermons on there for you as well. We've been talking about a story of his master is on the other side, and we've looked at Revelation 21, knowing that we do not know everything about what's going to be in heaven, but I know my master is there. That's all I need to know. We've looked at a passage in Hebrews 13, how he said he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. Go with me now to our final passage under examination today. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. We love this passage. We collectively, of course, because it's used at funerals. I've used it many times at funerals, many a times to comfort those who are grieving over the loss of a loved one. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may also be. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Dear friends, I found seven things that are beautiful in these six verses, and I want us to look at them here. The first one is comfort. Notice how the master teacher begins. He says, let not your heart be troubled. See, Christ is getting ready to be betrayed, crucified, die, and rise from the grave. That would be very troubling for those who are following Christ. He says, let not your heart be troubled. That is comfort. But secondly, he provides for them reassurance. Notice, he says, you believe in God, believe also in me. Well, there was no question in his mind that they believe in him, but he is equating belief in God to belief in the Son, belief in the Savior. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. That's a beautiful thing of reassurance. Notice this, there's a description here. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. In the Father's house are many mansions. Pause and flip over to verse 23 of this same chapter, where Jesus says, if a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Dear friends, the word for abode in the Greek is the same for mansions in verse 2. So not only are there mansions, but we get to literally dwell with the Father, and that is a description, many mansions. I don't know what it's going to look like, and I frankly don't care, dear friends. I just want to go there. I want to be there where my master is. That's a beautiful thing, that description in many mansions. The fourth description is action. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. Christ is gone to prepare a place, and he's been there about 2,000 years preparing this place. But notice, he says, and if I go, verse number 3, and prepare a place for you, I will come again. There's a recipient there. That's the fifth beautiful thing. That's you. Now, the original recipient, of course, being the 12 he's talking to. Well, Judas is not there. The 11 he's talking to. But honestly, friends, he's talking to you and I today as well. He says, I will come again and receive you. I am preparing a place for you. That's the fifth thing, is a recipient. The sixth thing, there are two promises that Christ gives. He says, if I go, I will come again. That's a promise, right? It's a conditional, if I go, which he said, I'm getting ready to go. So it's another way of saying, since I'm going, I am going to come back, notice, and receive you unto myself. Your second promise, that where I am, there ye may be also, dear friends. Our other promise is to be with him. He's not going to go prepare a place, come back and take us somewhere else. We get to go and stay with him. The seventh beautiful thing in this passage is in verse 4. He says, whether I go, you know. And the way you know, dear friends, that's knowledge. We can know. Jesus already said, according to John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth is what sets you free. Dear friends, we can know. Don't let anyone tell you can't know. How do we conclude this? Go to verse 6. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know which way you're going. How can we know? Here's your conclusion, verse 6. We have access to the Father. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, or except through me. Dear friends, no other way will work. You can't get out a prayer rug and access the Father. It's not found in Scripture. You can't pray to Virgin Mother Mary. That's not found in Scripture. You can't go to the priest. That's not found in Scripture. You can't go to the Pope. That's not a word even mentioned in Scripture. Dear friends, the only way to the Father is through Christ. No other way. Here's your grammar lesson. When Jesus says the way, the is definite, the truth, the life, not a way, a truth, and a life. Here in the studio, I currently have 3 lights and 1 microphone. So if I say I turn off a light, you don't know which of the 3 I've turned off. Yet if I say I've turned off the microphone, well, you know there's just one. Dear friends, Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. The only way that we have access to the Father. Oh, how blessed this thought is, dear Lord, dear friends, that our Father, the Master, is on the other side. His dwelling place is in heaven, and we can go there. Christ said, I'm coming back for you. We must be obedient. We must be trusting and obeying. We must be living faithful to his commands. So when he comes back, he will receive us, and we will get to live in eternity with him forever. And I can't think of a better thing to think about today, and I'm so glad that you and I got to study this together. If you want to share this with a friend, I encourage you to do so. You can download or listen to this lesson again online at readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on the radio sermons. We'll end this lesson the same way we've ended every lesson in this series. May the good Lord bless you, and may he keep you.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.